Welcome back, all y'all fine people. It is Andrew Love, and this is another episode of Whole Goals, the podcast, where we figure out how to be fulfilled and how to set and reach goals of our heart, mind, body, and soul. Today, we're going to get into abundance versus scarcity in terms of heart. How does that look? How does that feel? Let's dive deep into it. Let's go. Welcome back, everybody. Andrew Love here, and I'm trying not to just jump out of my skin. I'm excited. It's another day. I don't know if you know this, but it's another day. It's not yesterday. It's not even tomorrow. It's today, and today's the best day ever. And let me tell you why. Because we are alive, period. But if you need more reasons than that, then this, I'm going to go on a mini series within this podcast and explore the fantastic yet highly overused and misunderstood topic of abundance versus scarcity. Because we only ever hear about it pertaining to money, usually, on the internet, videos, podcasts, whatever. People are, you gotta have an abundant mindset. You've gotta think abundantly. And it's about, you know, not pinching pennies all the time and thinking, you know, that money just wants to jump on you and hug you and this kind of stuff. And that's well and good. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying that's all we typically hear about. I would like to say, wouldn't it be important to talk about how abundance affects our mind, our heart, our spirit, and our body? And I want to get into how that looks, because I believe that the vast majority of the population is operating in scarcity in the most important areas of their lives, and they don't even know it because they've never seen that framework of consideration. So I want to start with heart, because everything is about heart. Our whole life is actually interpreted through heart. What I mean is, our heart is what gives our mind information. It's the most connected system in our body. And our body, you know, if you want to get into it, is made out of 50 trillion cells, they say. Some people would say 45, but I don't know how you could actually count. It seems like they're kind of approximating. But let's say 50 trillion cells. And that includes spirit, that includes the invisible, that impacts the visible, our bodies, you know, all this system that makes us us is the most intricate system in the entire cosmos that we know about. More than plants, animals, more than galaxies, more than anything, it is the most intricate, ornate, malleable system that we know about. And within that system of the entity known as us, the most connected part of us is between our heart and our mind. And the information goes both ways, but 90% of the information from our mind and heart connected goes from the heart to the mind, which means that what we feel impacts what we think about, how we experience life, how we interpret data coming in depends on how we feel. If, for instance, you see a squirrel and you have positive association with squirrels, then you will feel a certain thing based on the information you're seeing, right? But let's say you are like my dad. My dad got attacked by a squirrel once. He's trying to chase it off the front yard of our property, and it fought back. It had had enough of my dad's antics, and it started chasing him back. So let's say you had a negative experience with a squirrel. When you see it, you're going to have a visceral negative reaction, especially if it's like a very heightened experience, like if it bit your ear off or something like that. If it was a rabid, insane squirrel with a vengeance against humankind, and it bit your ear off, every time you see a squirrel, you would have a very, you know, whole body experience. So it's really important to understand that our whole life experience basically is determined by the state of our heart, because that helps us interpret everything else based on how we feel. When we are loved, our minds are opened. We can hear information better. We can understand it more. We're more functional human beings. Our metabolism goes up. Everything, you know, our system just generally functions better when our heart is fulfilled. So then, wouldn't it be important to look more deeply into the state of our heart? And let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a situation where you're worried that somebody doesn't love you? Or you're afraid, you're in a relationship and you're afraid that somebody, that person might leave you? Or you're afraid that they don't love you as much as you love them? That causes you to react in a way of scarcity. And if you look at how society operates, it's entirely constructed off of the premise that love is finite and that you have to fight for love and that love is something that you can lose and that if you don't have the nicest car or the most updated phone, then you are not worthy of love. So it's very conditional. And when you live in a state of conditional love, you are always worried about losing it because you think of it as finite. And that, in a nutshell, kind of at its core, is, you know, the discussion or the consideration of abundance versus scarcity, is feeling like something is limitless versus something is finite. And we can get into that in every area, and we will. But in terms of love, we have to understand that it is not finite, that love is absolutely, there's an overabundance of love. We just have to learn how to be vessels for love. So it's not the fact that there is ever a shortage of love. That is never the problem. Our problem, if we have any, if is what we create, is that we close our hearts. We stop believing that we are able to experience love, and so we stop experiencing love. And if this sounds abstract, let me be a little clearer. I'll give you some examples. One great example is the childish misinterpretation of, you know, an elder sibling. When somebody, the firstborn is alive, so I have three kids. Our firstborn, when he was born, we had so much more time to just lavish this kid with love and attention because he was our only kid. So we could give, there's two parents and one kid. Those are good odds when you're a kid. You're getting all the love from two parents. And so he was about 2.5 before our next kid was born. And a lot of times what happens is kids interpret the birth of a new child to mean that they are going to receive less love. And in a way, you know, they are getting less time and attention, especially when they have a newborn baby brother or sister, because they're getting less time lavished on them. You know, they're not being saturated by attention anymore because the baby's crying and all this. So they think, oh, they are not looking at me and they're not hugging me as much, or they don't have as much time for me. So therefore, they don't love me as much. And that's often when kids develop, you know, some troublesome behavior. They act out, or they start to get a chip on their shoulder. And if the parents don't communicate with the kids, then oftentimes the kid can interpret that for their entire lives to mean that they have to act a certain way in order to get love. Because they think, oh, when my baby brother or sister cries, my parents give them attention. So maybe the kid will cry more or act in a certain way in order just to get the attention they feel they need, because that's how they interpret being loved. I hope that made a lot of sense, because it was clear. But if that wasn't clear, let me give you another example. When you are living in a state of lack, you are always worried about people not loving you. You're worried about losing. You're focused on the negative, on all the many possibilities of of losing love, of not having enough love. Because again, you're coming from a place of believing that love is finite. And when you do this, and so this occurs a lot in marriages, and this is why I feel a lot of people end up getting divorced, is because they run up against a feeling like, I don't love you anymore. And if they're not careful and they don't understand that love is infinite and we are just not being vessels for love in that moment, then they can think, oh, things have dried up. And if you are to flip that on itself and to reinterpret it to mean, I have dried up my ability to be a proper vessel for love, and that love is infinite, then it changes the game fundamentally. Now, with couples, honestly, withholding love because you feel, oh, this person doesn't deserve it, or punishing somebody by not loving them, this is a strategy of somebody who's operating out of scarcity. And I know we've all done it because we all didn't receive full love when we were kids. At some point, we started to misinterpret love to feel like it was finite and conditional. But in order to really be in a state of abundance, let's talk about abundance because all I've been talking about is lack. Abundance, to be benevolent with your love means to be extremely generous with your love, regardless of the situation, regardless of the individual, based sheerly on the fact that love is an unrelenting, never-ending, limitless resource that we have access to at any time. So if somebody hurts you and you strike them back for what they've done to you, that is you operating out of scarcity. Somebody operating out of abundance of love, even when they get hurt, they give back love. They give it generously. And that doesn't mean that you don't acknowledge that you were hurt or anything, but you don't withhold from other people because there's always more to give. And that's what the greatest religious teachings have taught us. Jesus was the prime example of this, that even when he's being killed, he continues to give love. But this is a universal principle that you can find in all of the major great religions, and any serious ideology will help you understand that, you know, we need to separate ourselves in a way from love conceptually, in that if we think love is kind of this thing that just is in us, or and then it just dries up and then it comes back and it's just kind of random, it's not very helpful. But if you can see love more as kind of a stream, and we are in the stream willingly, and it's an endless flow of love in the stream, or we're not in the stream and we feel like, oh, we're in the Sahara Desert, oh, there's no love left. But we decide, in the way that we think, in the way that we interpret situations, and in our commitment to living in an abundant state of love, we decide whether we are in the stream or not. And that is something that I would challenge you to do every single day, is to look at yourself when you think about your friends, when you think about your family, when you think about yourself. Do you have generosity of love, or do you withhold? I think a lot of people, especially look at society, you see a lot of people in a state of isolation, feeling worthless. It's they're withholding love from themselves in that state. They're thinking of all the things that they're not, of all their mistakes. They're really focusing on the negative, and they're not giving themselves forgiveness. They're not allowing themselves to feel love. They're withholding love from themselves. But also look at your friendships, any relationships that you are in, or if they've broken apart, look at how you acted in that scenario. Were you generous with your love, or were you acting in a scarcity mindset in terms of your heart, a scarcity heart set, let's say? So please, yeah, consider this. Consider, where do you stand in abundance versus scarcity in terms of your heart? Because the goal of whole goals is that we are live abundantly in all areas. So with heart, it means to truly live as though love were a limitless resource, because it is. And you need to find your own way to plug into the source of love, which exists beyond the human realm. And how you interpret that and what you call that, that's your responsibility to figure that out. But the less esoteric it is and the more relational it is, the better it will be, because it will help your relationships. If the universe is some big esoteric landscape that just somehow magically has love flowing through it, then that's still okay. It still works. But if you understand that there's a character and a nature, that love wasn't just randomly created or just randomly exists, like nothing is random about the universe. If you really look at it, everything is very purposeful. And love, when we're in a state of love, helps us to appreciate every aspect of life and every aspect of what has been created endlessly, right? And so it's like the chemical that heightens all of our senses is love. The chemical that lowers all of our senses and causes us to be just beasts, just creatures, just animals, is stress and a feeling of lack. So this is not a coincidence. And if you would like to live in a state where you can appreciate everything, even the sun, even rocks, then you need to be in a state of love. And if you want to be in a state of love, then you have to constantly find your way to plug into that love. Okay? So I hope I explained this well enough. We'll continue to dive deep throughout the years and the months and the eons on this topic, but that is my message today, my topic. Now, I challenge you sincerely from the bottom of my heart, and I'm doing this all the time, trust me, I'm challenging myself all the time, is to look generously, especially with the people that you're struggling with. Some of us will find it more natural to love certain types of people or certain people in our life because we have good chemistry with them, and other people we struggle with. Be generous with your love with them and see what happens. Even if they don't change immediately, eventually you will win their love. You will help love flow between that relationship, because if you have hard feelings, it means that you're both in the Sahara Desert in respect to each other. Let the waters flow at least from you to them. And the more that you keep doing it, the more that the Sahara Desert will become this beautiful landscape of just water just flowing like crazy between your relationship. And that can be any single relationship. Any relationship can be healed with love when we practice. But it's an action. It's not a feeling that we just hope for. It's an action that we do, and that helps to wet the Sahara Desert until it becomes this thriving ocean of love. Have a great day, everybody. I hope this wasn't too esoteric. I hope it was practical, because when you live like this, there's just no end to the joy that you experience and the appreciation, the gratitude that you have. Be well, my friends. I will talk with you soon.